Welcome to Next Gen Sunday First Church. Welcome to the last Sunday of 2024. Only a couple days away until 2025. How crazy is that? It's wild. If you would just stand with me in this place. And before I just read the scripture to start off, let's put our hands together for Safi as well. What an amazing, amazing song that he created, that he wrote. Such an amazing, amazing song. We are blessed here at First Church all around. Today I'm going to be reading from Luke 4:16 through 21. If you would just read with me on the screen behind me or on your phone or your Bible. And it reads, "And he," talking about Jesus, "came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue and on the Sabbath day, and he stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and all the eyes of them in the synagogue were fastened onto him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" You see, in verse 18, when it starts to read off all the things that Jesus came to do, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Each one of these examples is not for the physical need, for somebody who is financially poor, for somebody who is physically brokenhearted, for somebody who is literally captive. It's not just for those who are literally blind or those who are physically bruised. What Jesus is referencing is something much more important, and that's the spiritual captive, the spiritually poor, the spiritually blind, the spiritually bruised. And so for those in this house today, you might not be blind, you might not be bruised, you might not be poor, you might not be captive, but in the spirit, are there things that you need from God today? Are there things that you need from God this morning? Let's just pray. In the name of Jesus, God, we worship you right now. We're believing that the goodness of God is in this house, and we are making ourselves available for every single thing that you have in store for us. God, as I open up my mind, as I open up my heart, I'm asking you in Jesus' name to speak to me this morning. Speak to me this morning in Jesus' name. And as you sit down, just high five three or four people around you. In Jesus' name. If I could just have that team in the back, just put up verse 20, Luke 4:20 behind me one more time. This verse right here is going to be where my title comes from. Today I'd like to speak and entitle my message, "Closing the Books." The reason why I want to title this message, "Closing the Books," is because as we come to the end of this year, I think that in order to start new and in order to start correctly, in a couple of days, we first need to close the books on the things in our lives that God's allowing us to close. You see, closing the books is a financial term used in accounting departments and businesses all across the world. And what it references is making sure that from a financial standpoint, everything is aligned and ready to go and start anew. You know, I work for a company and during December of every single year, it gets crazy with the finance team and the logistics, and we just need to make sure that everybody is ready and the books are closed so that we can start the next year off on the right foot. And in order to start by closing the books, you must start by acknowledging certain things that are going on inside of your life. And so I have a few principles here today, and luckily, Cal just did an amazing job And he actually spoke for about 5 minutes. And so that gives me a little more liberty. Whenever I come up and preach, I feel like I have to add more so that, you know, people aren't just left sitting down for 10 minutes. But thank God we had 5 minutes of fire. I feel liberty to just give you what I got, and we'll just see what God does from there. So I have a couple principles that we need to keep in mind when it comes to closing at least the spiritual books inside of your life so that you can start off the next year on the right foot. And the first principle simply states, sugar isn't always better. You see, when I looked online on the actual steps to closing books for a business, one of the first steps is to review the financial statements for that year. You see, this is taking a clear, sobering view on exactly where you are. A clear, sobering view on where you're ending this year so that you know exactly what you need to do to start off correctly the following year. In order to close books for a business, we have to be honest and open. Same thing for your soul. We have to be honest and open so that we understand exactly what our lives reflect before God. And before we move on from this initial stage of the process, we must be vulnerable with ourselves as well. You see, let's not sugarcoat things. It gets real easy, at least for my son. The more sugar, the easier it is to eat. He doesn't like broccoli, but I guarantee you he'll eat sugar-coated broccoli. But at the end of the day, it's not good for him. We can't just sugarcoat every single thing that's going on inside of our lives. We must accept things for what they are. And as I reflect on this last year, I can honestly say that this time last year, I had no idea we'd be where we are today. I had absolutely no idea. You could have offered me $1 million to just take a wild guess. I would have never guessed this is where we'd be this time last year. And so if my life is any example of your life, or my perception is any example of your perception, then we can just be on the same boat together and say, hey, a year ago today, we had no idea. But we're blessed because of what God's done in this church. We are blessed. And in this last year, it's been my pleasure to meet so many new families, so many new people, so many new couples who have joined First Church within this last year. And each person having a different story of their own on why they came to First Church. But I guarantee for many of those people who are here at First Church, this time last year, you had no idea you'd be here at First Church, but we are blessed to have you as well. You see, I've been a part of First Church my whole life. This is my church that I was born into. This is the church that I was raised in. This is the church that where I would run down the hallways when I'm a child and get yelled at by Harry Hoffman. This is the church where I'd have coloring crayons underneath the pews and Hot Wheels. This is where I was born and raised, and I can say with confidence that 2024 has been a year for the books. At First Church, we've gone through the ringer and came out better because of it. And change after change, obstacle after obstacle, this year has embodied Job chapter 1 when it says that the Lord giveth and the Lord takes away. But still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, I don't have the liberty to simply share stories, individual stories or personal testimonies, but I can tell you that there are stories that fill these pews of the people right next to you. And I can say with confidence that for many, many people in this room, 2024 has been a year of highs, very highs and very deep lows. And because I know that the natural always follows the spiritual, I can assume the same thing that goes on within our souls as well, some deep highs, followed by some deep, deep lows. And oftentimes, God will force the change that we need because if given the option, we would never choose it for ourselves. But here we are at First Church. You see, the likelihood of First Church walking out of 2024 was slim to none. But because of the mighty hand of God and because of people who have placed God at the center of your lives and decided to walk by faith and not by what you see at face value, we're coming out stronger. We're coming out better because of it. And the same thing can be said about your life. In Jesus' name. You see, if I just make the blanket assumption that this year has been rough for some people in this house, then I can also go down the line and say that every single person in this room has something that we can all hold on to. Every single person that's sitting right in this room has been given a gift, and that gift is called hope. You see, hope is a gift from God. Hope to walk back into the presence of God. Hope to walk back into the house of God. Hope to continue to worship God. That's what we have here today, and that's what we're going to hold on to. You see, I've preached this simple message before, but in the Bible, there's a valley called the Valley of Achor, and the Valley of Achor represented death to Israel. And the reason why it represented death to Israel is because the Valley of Achor was where Achan was killed. Achan was the man who betrayed the entire nation, who hid sin inside of his home, and who allowed his family to pay the price of his own sin. Achan was the man who allowed his sin to lead Israel into a loss. And the Valley of Achor was a reminder of what was going on inside of that time. And in Hosea chapter 2, verse 14 through 15, it reads, and this is from the prophet referencing Israel, speaking to Israel from the voice of God. And he says, therefore, behold, I will allure her. I will bring her into the wilderness and I'll speak comfort to her. I will give her her vineyards from there and the Valley of Achor as a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. Why? Because hope is always found in places of death. Hope is found in the bleakest of moments. That's why in the Valley of Achor, the valley of the reminder of the hidden, tormented sin of Israel, that's where the doorways of hope are found. So let me tell somebody in this room that wants to say, hey, I want to move on from 2024. Let me just start 2025 off right. There is doorways of hope that can only be found in seasons of pain. Don't just brush off the pain of this year. Don't just brush away the hardships of what you experience, because it's in the pain. That's where the doorways of hope are found inside of your life. We must accept and love valleys as much as we do mountaintops. You see, Hosea was referencing a beaten and battered nation and what God does to those who are broken and hurting. You see, God can change your perspective on your own past. He'll turn what reminds you of death into doorways of hope in Jesus' name. The next principle I want to talk about when it comes to closing the books on 2024 is a principle that states availability is not ownership. You see, another step in closing books for a business is preparing the closing entries. In order to do this, profit or loss must be accounted for. Did we lose or did we gain this year? Are we on top? Are we in the black or are we in the red this year? We want to know exactly where we ended. This is so important because whether you made a profit spiritually or a loss, either way, we need to give it to God at the end of the year. We need to be able to give it to God. Again, I want to read Luke 4 again, and it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to those who are captive, and recovering sight to those which are blind, to set at liberty them which are captive, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And for those who don't know, this acceptable year of the Lord is referencing the year of Jubilee. And then again, it says, and he closed the book. And Jesus closed the book after that. You see, Jubilee was a command from God to Israel. It's not just a suggestion. It was a commandment. And for those who don't know, Jubilee was a year that occurred every 50 years in the nation of Israel. And what happened during that year of Jubilee is every single debt that you had over your head was paid off, debt-free, clean, no interest, all set, you're good. And the reason why it was every 50 years was so that every single Israelite could experience Jubilee at least once in their lifetime. And the beautiful thing about Jubilee was that it's not just your debt, it's your family's debt. It's your parents, it's your grandparents' debt that might affect you today. It's all of the debt. It would be just written off that year, just cleaned off the books that year. And when Jesus stepped into flesh, this is what the Bible says, Jubilee changed from just a year into a person. Jubilee can be found in a person. You don't have to wait 50 years, every single 50 years, to have your debts wiped clean. It's a person. Jubilee can be found in Jesus Christ. And we're not talking about financial debts right now. We're talking about the spiritual debts of your life. They can be washed clean in the name of Jesus right here, right now. Let's praise God in the name of Jesus. Thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name. Leviticus 25 reads, "And you are to make the 50th year holy and proclaim the liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It is to be a jubilee to you when each of you are to return to his own property and each of you to return to his own family." Jubilee. You see, one of the most common ways for people to pay off their debts in that day and age, when they don't have property to give, they sell themselves out. They would make themselves slaves to a master in that time just to pay off a debt. And the beautiful thing about Jubilee is that when that year came, every debt was wiped, which means you have the ability to regain the freedom that you gave away in the first place. Incredible when you start talking about the relationship between a financial debt in ancient Israel to the spiritual debts that we find ourselves in here today. There are people in this room, and if you've ever sinned, you know exactly what I'm talking about, but there are people in this room who would sell themselves to the enemy, give themselves to another master, and in Christ, you have the opportunity to take back that freedom. But there's a very important principle when you start to learn about Jubilee. The important principle in the laws of Jubilee was that the ownership of responsibility to these rights were placed on the debtee and not the debtor. This simply means that just because it's the year of Jubilee doesn't mean you get everything back. It means on the year of Jubilee, you have the availability to take everything back. There were slaves that decided to stay a slave in that time. There were people who never went back to their land and took it back from the landowner. There were people who allowed Jubilee to walk right by them and never took advantage of it. Why? Because the burden of responsibility of their possessions, their properties, and their freedom was in their hands, not the new owner. You see, the enemy of your soul is not just going to give back whatever he stole from you, whatever you gave to him. It's on you to take it back. That is your responsibility to reach back out and say, hey, this is mine now. I'm taking this back. I'm with Jesus now. I want this all the way back. That's your responsibility, you see. Now, this is an important concept because there are people that walk into church every single week, and they still allow the enemy to keep on holding on to some things in their life. You have the ability to take back your joy. You just let Satan keep it. You have the ability to take back family relationships. You have the ability to turn back the hands of time and say, hey, I want to change some things that I gave away. So today, if you want to close the books the right way, if you want to start the next year the right way, it's time that you recognize the things that you lost. It's time to recognize the things that you gave away and say, hey, God's given you ownership, but it's your responsibility to take it back for yourself in the name of Jesus. We're taking some things back today. It's my responsibility to retrieve some things. In Jesus' name. The last concept I want to talk about in closing the books is something I'd like to call cleaning rooms makes room. You see, one of the last steps to close books for a business is to prepare for the next period. This is start planning, preparing to make fresh again. You see, for my family, my wife and I, one of the first things we're going to do here this week is to clean up our house. But not just house, we're going to clean up certain rooms in our house. And it's not just to have a clean room. The reason we want to clean certain rooms is because we want to clean them out. And the reason we want to clean out certain rooms, in our case, some floors, right? We're going to clean out some floors in Jesus' name. But the reason we want to do that is because we have some things that don't have places yet. We want to make room for some things that we actually want a place in our life. And you see, there's a bunch of stuff in our basement that we haven't touched since we moved in. They're just taking up space. We have storage space. So we just allow things to take up space. Now, the problem with our storage space is that we don't use the stuff. But now we have stuff that we actually want to use, but they don't have space. So we need to clean out our rooms. When you clean out your rooms, you increase capacity in your life. You see, Judah also has a strange little habit as of late I'm not a big fan of. See, Judah's a snacker. What he does is he'll start snacking on food, but the second he sees a different pretzel or the second he sees his water bottle or a juice box, he instinctively just spits out whatever's in his mouth to make room for the next thing that he sees in his eyes. And we tell him, buddy, like you can just swallow it and then get the next thing just a couple seconds later. But in his mind, he says, no, I see, I want, spit out. That's just his process. Now, the issue with this process of Judah is that when he spits things out, he doesn't get the nutrients. But also, somebody has to follow after him and clean up the mess of just like small clumps of pretzels throughout the house, half-chewed pretzels. That's what has to happen when you just spit things out. You see, with the things of God, we often do the same thing. Until we can fully walk through certain tests, lessons, trials, seasons, God won't allow us to move on to the next stage in our life. That's why when you see somebody who's lived in this life for a long time, you can notice some key differences when you compare some people. It's not judging, but God's a respecter of principles, not persons. And so you can see somebody who still struggles with the same things from 20 years ago. Why? Because God's saying, hey, this is your test right now. Until you pass it, we're not going to move on. If you want to close the books on some things that happened this year or even 5 years ago, you need to clean it up now so that God can take you into the next steps moving forward. You see, yeah, that's a good principle. We can clap for that in Jesus' name. You see, people who don't focus on the potentially greener grass, but instead waters and fertilizes and cares for the grass that they're planted in, they actually grow spiritually. You see, people who are constantly moving from situation to situation as soon as times get tough, as soon as it gets difficult, they always find a reason to ignore the current issues and just move on to the next pasture. The reason why there are people that are always thinking the grass is greener on the other side is because they stopped growing, they stopped watering the grass that they're planted in, but instead would water the ideas in their mind to the point where their imagination is green. But the grass at their feet is dry and dead. And so every single time they change situations or change a season, they're always hoping for the next one after that because they haven't learned the discipline of just staying where they are and growing that grass. You see, the problems of 2024 won't just disappear until you face them and pray through them and give them to God and His perfect will. That's how you move on with these things in God. You see, if you've had a tough year, this last year, it's tempting to have the mindset of I just want to move on, like let's just wait it out a couple days and we can start again in 2025. The problem with that belief system is that if you're not willing to face these issues with God, If you're not willing to confront them in the Holy Ghost, if you're not willing to add some things inside of your life, the same problems that you dealt with this last year are the same problems you're going to start off with next year. We need to get to a place where we take everything at face value and say, I'm dealing with this right now so that I can move on tomorrow. The problems of today don't just disappear. You see, one of the most broken sayings is that time heals all things. Maybe a cut, maybe a bruise, but the issues of your soul has no concept of time. You must deal with them right now. If I can just have the keys come up. In Jesus' name. You see, all these undealt with issues, all they do is build up inside of your life, slowly taking over rooms, slowly taking over floors, slowly taking up the garage of your life to a point where even if God wanted to give you something, there's no room for God to make any additions inside of your life. Why? Because you need to clean some things up first. You need to deal with some things at the altar first. You need to go home and make a phone call first. The only way for God to bless you is when you first start to just clean some things up inside of your life. If you can just put up my last scripture, this is 2 Kings chapter 4, 1 through 7, and it reads, this is the story of a widow. And it reads, now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, but the creditors come to take my two children to be his slaves. And Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in this house? And she says, your servant has nothing in the house except for a jar of oil. And he said, go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty the vessels and not too few. Then go in and shut the door behind you and yourself and your sons and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside. So when she went out and she shut the door behind herself and her sons, and as she poured, they brought vessels to her. And when the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. Bring me another vessel. And he said to her, her son said to her, there is not another. There's no more vessels. Then the oil stopped flowing. And she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your son can live off the rest. You and your children can live off the rest. The incredible part about this scripture is that the blessing and the oil stopped flowing once the capacity and the room ran out. You see, once the last jar was full, the oil stopped flowing. If your life and your spirit and your world is just so full to the brim with issues that you haven't dealt with issues that you just shoved to the back, also comes the capacity is running out for God to even bless you with. If you need something from God, let's just start by cleaning up the mess real quick. Let's just start by cleaning up some things inside of our life. You can't just expect a couple days from now to change everything inside of your life. You got to start right here, right now. You got to be able to be honest with God and say, God, I want to change some things too. I want to go home and I want to fix some things inside of my life to make room for you. You see, the issue of the oil was that, hey, if she had more vessels, she would have more blessing. Now, she was blessed, don't get me wrong. But if she had a couple more, what could she do with that? If she had a couple more, if she had a little more room, what could she do with that? And it's the same thing for your life. How much room do you even have for God to bless you in the first place? How much negativity is packed inside of your mind? What does God need to work through just to give you a drop of oil inside of your life? I believe today is a day. It's not just a season that's going to clean up the mess. It's your prayer life that's going to clean up the mess. In your life, what do you need to add and what do you need to take away? That's my question for you today. Where's your capacity limit at today? Where's your capacity for God today? Let's just stand in this house right now. As they begin to sing, just come to these altars just for the last time of this year. I don't know what you've gone through. I know what this church has gone through, but I don't know what you have gone through in this last year. But if my life is any indication of yours, if your life is any indication of mine, we've gone through some things. Let's place it on the altars today. Let's give it to God today and say, hey, God, just take this away from me and make me a little bit more room, because I want the oil to flow in 2025. I want the blessings to be poured out in 2025. With all eyes closed and hands lifted, let's just begin to worship God right now. In the name of Jesus, and the power and the authority that comes subject to that name, God, I'm asking you to wash us clean today. I'm asking you to hear the voice of some lowly saints right now. God, I'm asking you in Jesus' name to reside in our lives here. In the name of Jesus, we give you all glory. We give you all the honor. Let's just worship together right now in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hariya motoshi ariya. Yariya moshi ariya. Yes, hariya motoshi ariya. Let God change you right now. Let God move on you. Just give it to God in this moment.
You go before me and you write the story. So how much more safe could I be?